Today on All Saints Day, we are completing the series that we began on Rally Day. We've called it the Race of a Lifetime, and I have had the runner's bib of 007 because I am just so far ahead of everybody else. Thank you, Corey, for that. Today we officially conclude this series, and we turn to the scripture with which we began, the reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 12, verse 2. We won't read the whole thing because it is just so chock full, but listen to these verses as we remember those who ran the race before. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he'd been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. By faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, the Hebrew people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled for 7 days. And what more shall I say? For time fails me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Others suffered mocking and flogging, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. Yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive all of that which was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, without all of us, be made complete. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God. This is the word of the Lord. Today on All Saints Day, as we come to the conclusion of this series, The Race of a Lifetime, it might help to review what the goal was in the first place, what it means to finish this race. The goal has been to help us train for the race, the marathon of faith, this lifetime of faith. And it is more like a marathon than a sprint, like the marathon that Pastor Dave ran. Each segment demands different things of us. Each segment has its challenges, and we would be fools not to know what we're up against. So each week, for the last couple of months, we've focused on a particular challenge or hurdle. As you hear this list and remember, or if you're hearing this for the first time, I invite you to consider which of these challenges hit home most for you. Those times when we don't know what's next, what move we should make in relationships or work, in our health or spiritual life, are we ready? Have we trained to trust God? Or those challenging times of harsh betrayal, when we're thrown under the bus by somebody else we trusted, or by injustices, or by an accident, or even by our own error, are we prepared to forgive? Are those times, those segments, when we're tapped to lead, and we're not sure that we have it in us, and the challenge seems wildly daunting, are we ready with courage? Are those times when we are successful and we find ourselves in over our heads, deluded into thinking that we're invincible, above the law, entitled, are we open then to correction? Are those times when we're in a unique position to make a difference and a lot is riding on our particular gifts, but it may cost us dearly? Are we prepared for self-sacrifice? Are those times when we've tried our best and failed miserably, and we're asked to keep going anyway? Are we ready for humility? Finally, those times when we've been plowing full speed ahead, only to discover that all along we've been heading pell-mell in the wrong direction, are we prepared? Are we prepared to turn around? We never know, do we, what challenges we're going to face. We never know what hurdles might come our way. Fortunately, this list of challenges doesn't hit all at once, and few of us actually have to face all of them. But it sure helps to be prepared for them when they do come, so we can avoid stumbling and falling, or worse, quitting the race altogether, which can be tempting. The question is, how do we prepare? How do we prepare ourselves for when these challenges inevitably come? The most important lesson we've learned this fall is this. We do not run alone. We do not run alone. If we've learned nothing else this fall, the most important lesson we can take away is that for all of these segments of training, we do not run alone. As the African proverb that Corey shared goes, those who want to go fast, go alone. Those who want to go far, go together. Today, on All Saints Day, it's fitting that we honor the impact of our fellow runners along the way in the race of life. Those who run with us, they can make all the difference in the world to us. There are three categories of runners that I want you to pay attention to, that I want to lift up today. First, I want us to notice those who have run this marathon already. We are not the first to run this race of faith, and we have so much to learn from those who have run before. As we heard in our scripture lesson, the Bible is filled with story after story, testimony after testimony of the people who have traversed this path before us. Thanks be to God. These people may have lives that look very different than our own, but their challenges are very much the same. People like Abraham and Sarah, who learned the hard way to trust God's word instead of needing to know every single step in front of them. People like Joseph, whose own brothers betrayed him, but who learned to forgive for the sake of God's agenda. People like Moses, who learned that God wouldn't call him into leadership without equipping him for the job. People like David, whom God had to rescue from his hubris, his terminal exceptionalism. People like Esther, who found herself in a position of helping in a way that might risk her own life and helped anyway. And people like Peter and Paul, who betrayed their Lord Jesus, but whom God called to carry the gospel anyway. These saints, who weren't always very saintly, these saints have finished their race. They've completed their course. They've earned the crown of glory. And we learn from them still. Scripture is like the original training manual, full of lessons for us that can keep us on our run, that can keep us from stumbling and falling along the way. And these saints who have finished their race, they're not just long ago and far away either, are they? They're with us still. Scripture tells us those who ran long ago, they're with us as a cloud of witnesses, cheering us on. I can picture them in the stands now, like loving parents or grandparents, watching our race, rooting for us, wanting us to do our best, knowing how hard it is, invested in our performance. That's the first group that runs with us, those who ran long ago in Scripture. But second, it's not just saints from long ago who run with us, is it? I invite you to think right now about those who run the race of faith with you, who have coached you or accompanied you, who have encouraged you or corrected you. I probably don't need to tell you how much they matter in life's success and faith's endurance. For many of us, we encounter fellow runners in those among our family, our close friends at school or work, perhaps a teacher or coach. God plants them everywhere for us so that we're never alone in the race of faith. It's the purpose of the church, isn't it? And one of the things I cherish about the church is you, my fellow runners. It's not unlike AA or some of the other recovery programs, is it? Well, it's possible to overcome addiction on one's own. It's sure a lot harder. People tell me they're prone to slipping, to fooling themselves, to getting off the path when they try to do it alone. And the same is true for us. The compassion and mutual accountability that's baked into a recovery program is crucial for us, too. That's why I cringe a little when I hear people talking about finding God on the golf course or at the beach or in the mountains. I applaud it in a way. I do get it about feeling really close to God, the Creator, in the beauty of nature. If I could spend my whole life on the Oregon coast, I would. There is a feeling of awe that knocks my socks off. But when push comes to shove, the trees and the ocean, the lake and the hills aren't going to be there for me to pick me up when I fall, or hold me when I weep, or slap me upside the head when I do something ridiculously selfish and stupid, which I am prone to do. I need you people for that. We need each other for that along the way. So who are the people in your life who've run this race of faith with you? I think of my parents who taught me faith in the first place. My Armenian grandmother, who read me stories from the big family Bible as she wept and played gospel songs on Tennessee Ernie Ford albums. I think of my Sunday school teachers and classmates, my college professors and pastors, my husband and daughter, my sister and friends, and church members. So many church members along the way. So who are yours? Who are your co-runners along your path, who set the pace for you, who urge you on, who ran alongside you when you were weary or needed your encouragement along the way? Some of those runners are still with us, aren't they? Thanks be to God. But some of them, sadly, are among the cloud of witnesses who cheer us on from afar. These last 2 months, in the course of this particular sermon series, we have seen way too many of our fellow runners finish their race. Chris Coffin and Anna Litchfield, long before their time. Dr. Phil Jones and Irma Nels, Agatha Flicker and Barbara Lee and Ruth Pirabon, and too many more. But these fellow runners, I can't imagine what it would have been like without them. We know their struggles. We know how they, like those in our scripture lesson today, set out by faith not knowing where they were going. We know how they refused luxury in order to lead well. We know how they overcame their pride in order to do what was right. We know how they suffered prejudice or maybe mocking for the sake of their faith and their courage. And they ran their race. They ran their race alongside us. And we are so much better for it. But there's a third group, too, that I just want to name briefly. And that, my friends, is the group of runners who come after us. The group of runners who come after us. We don't think about them often enough, but in God's eternity, we also know that there will be those who come after us. The babies we've baptized and promised to coach into faith, the kids in confirmation who are going to make their vows on their own, the grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren of this congregation, and the children we reach out to in North Chicago and Waukegan and Tanzania, and their children's children, whom we will never know. And they depend on us. They depend on us. Their lives, their faith, their courage, their conviction can be helped or hindered by how we run our race, how we choose whether or not to lay aside our sins and set down our burdens, as Scripture puts it. Our life of faith is not just for ourselves. It's not just for ourselves. It's a legacy we leave, one way or another. And I pray as we finish our race that our lives will not disappoint them. These are the runners alongside us in our faith, those who ran long before us in Scripture and urge us on, those who run beside us in the marathon of faith with us, on whom we depend. And those who run the race after us, for better or for worse, depending on us. Those who run fast may go alone, but those who want to run far, we run together. There is one more in the race, isn't there? One more whom we have not yet named. Jesus. Jesus who overcame the ultimate obstacles of sin and death. Jesus who finished the race in glory, Jesus whose footsteps are in front of us for us to follow, Jesus who leads us still into that joyful victory that no one and nothing can ever take away. We do not run this race alone. Thank God we do not run this race alone. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what do you say? Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God, where he welcomes us. He welcomes us to join him in his glory. Amen. Beloved in Christ, our service now begins. Go out into the world in peace. Go out strengthened for the race ahead of you, for you do not run alone. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit propel you forward this day and forevermore. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.